Join me in prayer, please. Our Father, as we approach your word this morning, I just pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to your truth, that you would continue to sanctify us in the holiness, and that we might truly worship you in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last several sermons, we have been in Hebrews chapter 4, and we will continue in that chapter today. And we've been talking about rest. There is a number of different rest mentioned in the Bible. There is Sabbath rest, there is creation rest, there is the promise of heavenly rest. And as we look at Hebrews chapter 4, as the writer of Hebrews mentions a number of these rests, he said that there is a greater rest, and that rest is what we're going to continue our discussion on this morning. We mentioned it briefly the last time that we were together. And so if you'll follow along with me in Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 6, verse 10 and 11 is going to be our focal passage this morning, but I want to start at verse 6. And it reads, "Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, 'Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." If you recall, last time we were together, I mentioned that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, the rest that is mentioned there is found only in this particular verse in the New Testament. And it refers to a Sabbath rest. Now, it isn't the Old Testament idea of Sabbath, which is a Saturday. It's not a legalistic view of Sabbath. However, it is a spiritual view of a Sabbath rest. It is a Sabbath rest that we can somewhat enjoy right now. We will completely enjoy the Sabbath rest in the future as we are with God in heaven. But most and foremost, this Sabbath rest that is mentioned in verse 9 is centered on Jesus Christ. How do I rest in Christ? I remember when I was a kid and you'd hear old-timers give their testimony. And I remember they would talk about resting in God, that you need to rest in God. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Because to me, resting meant that you just sat down and you were still and you were quiet. What does it mean to rest in God? And today, my idea of heavenly rest, and as we look at the scripture today and talk about rest, my goal is for you to walk away knowing what it means to rest in God. And so, in order to do that, we're first of all going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 3. As I've said numerous times, Ephesians chapter 1 is one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. And in verse 3, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. As you can see by these verses, our salvation is in Christ. Our blessings are from Christ. And in fact, if you look at those verses and you just go through, starting in verse 3, it says that Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In verse 4, He chose us. In verse 5, He predestined us. In verse 6, He made us accepted in the Beloved. In other words, there's nothing in verses 3 through 6 that we have done to find favor or acceptance in front of God. It's all about Christ. So when I look at Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, and I look at all of the things that Christ does for us, I can rest in Christ. I can rest in Christ. Now, what does that mean? Look back at our focal passage in Hebrews 4:10. It says, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." Well, I love the Amplified Version. It reads the following in verse 10. It says, "For the one who has once entered his rest has also rested from the weariness and pain of his human labors, just as God rested from those labors uniquely his own," talking about the rest of creation. God created the heaven and earth in 6 days, and then he rested. It reads on in verse 11, it says, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience as those who died in the wilderness." So you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, should rest in Christ. Spurgeon said this of verse 10. He said, "It is finished. I am no longer going to do my own works. I am done with them. I now trust the finished work of Christ, and that gives me rest. But as to all that wearied me before, it made life a continual task and toil. It is ended now." God is not a cruel taskmaster to His people. He gives rest to those who trust in Him, and some of us have entered into that rest. Entering into His rest. Christ did say on the cross that it is finished. The payment was paid. He took the wrath that was meant for you and me, and He took it upon Himself. He paid the debt. And He made us accepted. And in fact, when we read Ephesians 1:5, it says that He made us accepted in the Beloved. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. When you look at resting in Christ and what that should mean for us as a believer, and this is where we start putting everyday application to it. Everyone is motivated to fulfill some system in life. In other words, there are some people that say, you know, I get my satisfaction in life from my career. That I am going to focus on my career. I get satisfaction in climbing the corporate ladder. I get satisfaction in attaining certain types of titles and hitting certain career goals. And that is my purpose in life. And there's a toil associated with that, isn't there? There's never any satisfaction with that. You can never be satisfied in a world system. But that's how they want to find their self-worth and dignity and all of those things that they're looking for. There's other people that that's not important to them at all. And their system in life is to, and it's something that's a pet peeve of mine right now in our modern day culture, is they want to have an experience. We have lots of people out there today in our culture that they say, I want to have an experience. And I'm going to go and I'm going to do all of these things. I'm going to have my self-worth through the experiences that I have accumulated over time, whether that's exotic travel, whether that is some type of entertainment. I want to have all of the experiences that I can have. Other people do it through money, through the accumulation of wealth. Whatever flavor is out there that people end up choosing, there are lots of folks that are pursuing a goal, a self-worth through a world system. You and I realize that that doesn't work. We've all tried it before Christ, that the world system just doesn't leave you satisfied. In fact, there's that great old hymn that's called Satisfied. And I love how the hymn writer says that they have tried everything, and it's a paraphrase because I can't recall it exactly at this particular point in time, but it talks about the husk of life. And you know, when you think about a husk, there's just nothing left. It's just dry and empty. And that's what happens to people that go from world system to world system, trying to find some type of satisfaction, but they don't find anything. That's why Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28, He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There seems to be a restlessness among people today as people are out trying to find rest in their worldly system. And because of that, there is a lack of contentment in society today. There is a lack of steadfastness. Why is that? Because they're not focusing on Christ. Christ said, come to me. Come to me. Now, I want to point something out here with this, and I want to point it out in regards to those of us today who are believers. In the modern day church, Christ, in a lot of situations, is not exalted. The church is built around entertainment. The church is built around activities. The church is built around a particular person. In fact, there's lots of people, if you get to talking to them, they'll sit there and they'll tell you all of the personalities, because we do have a lot of personalities today in modern Christianity that are on the radio and TV, and they go, oh, well, I'll listen to so-and-so, or I'll listen to so-and-so, and they're all caught up with that particular person. Nothing wrong about having a favorite preacher, but the center always has to be on Christ. Because Jesus Christ said, come unto me. He didn't say, come to your favorite church activity or your favorite program or your favorite television preacher. Those things won't give you rest. What gives you rest is when you turn your focus on Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you come unto Him, you will find rest for your souls. You'll start taking on a Christ-centered worldview. You'll look at things the way that Christ looks at things. How do I know that? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Paul wrote the church at Corinth, and he said this, These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, how does that particular group of verses relate to us having rest? First of all, it says that the natural man does not receive the things of God. They're foolish to him. In other words, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't comprehend the things of God. How many times have you heard someone give a testimony in which they said, you know, I looked at the Bible before, I had been told about Jesus Christ before, and it never really made sense to me. I couldn't understand it. I tried to read the Bible. That didn't make any sense. And then one day God speaks to them and they said, all of a sudden, everything made sense regarding God and the things of God in His Word. He went from being a natural person to a spiritual person. And when we know Jesus Christ, it says in verse 13 that the Holy Spirit teaches us, and we start comparing spiritual things. That through the Holy Spirit, we start recognizing what God's plan is. We recognize God's plan not only universally and appreciate it as we read His Word. Because after all, if you're holding your Bible right now, you have the complete revealed Word of God in your hands right now. As much as we're ever going to get. It doesn't change. It shouldn't be modified. It is His truth. And then because you have that, and because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. That's significant. Because if we have the mind of Christ, and we focus on Christ, and we come to Him, and we look to Christ for guidance, if we do those things, we can have rest. Now, what do I mean by that? If you went home this evening and you turned on the TV and you watched the news, does this world make any sense at all at this particular point in time? It's in turmoil, isn't it? We live in an age of turmoil, of strife. We live in a time of wars. We live in a period of societal decay. Can you have rest in any of that? You can't, can you? But by having the mind of Jesus Christ, by following Christ, by looking to Him, by centering your life on Christ and looking at the Bible as the complete revealed Word of God, I can have rest because I know that God is in control. I know that God is going to be victorious, and I can rest in the power and strength of God despite my circumstances. Isn't that what Paul said as he wrote that he had a peace that surpasses all understanding? See, there's a problem today with the Christian community that wants to get piled up in a corner and wring our hands and talk about how horrible it is and not be active in our world. Because, see, the only answer to all of the problems that we face in this world, the only answer to the strife, to the unrest, to the injustice, is Jesus Christ. And hiding in the corner and waiting till He comes back is not biblical truth. Because Jesus said that we're to be salt and light, aren't we? We're to go out. We're to be ambassadors to Christ. Now, can you imagine looking at a Secretary of State and having a conversation and say, well, how many countries have you been to? Well, never been to another country. You'd think, well, why in the world do we have you as Secretary of State? Your job is to go out and to represent the interests of our country. But yet, on the other hand, we have a lot of Christians who view their life as one of isolation, that we're to live an isolated life and we're not to interact with anyone and we're just going to be okay if we stay in the corner and just wait till he comes back. But you'll never, ever find that in Scripture. See, we're to be the most confident people in society because we know who wins. All you have to do is turn to the end of the book. We know that we have victory over sin. We know that he'll protect us and he'll guide us. We can have rest in that and we can operate in our society being an ambassador for him because we do not have to be afraid. Because he is Lord. He is Lord. We can have rest. But that rest only comes through Christ. We can play church. We can do that, and you're not going to find rest playing church. You're only going to have rest by surrendering your life every single day to Christ. And by surrendering to him and coming to him and serving him, you'll find rest for your souls. In verse 11 of Hebrews 4, it says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Spurgeon said the following on verse 11. He said, "Let us not repeat the story of unbelieving Israel in our own lives. Let us not live and die in the wilderness. Let us go in and take possession of the promised land, the promised rest, and the power of the Holy Spirit." I love that. Contrast that with the children of Israel. When you look at the children of Israel, God had promised them that they would take possession of the promised land that was given to their forefathers. And look at all of the things that they witnessed prior to coming to the land. They were fed manna and quail. They had a pillar of fire. They had a cloud. They had walked through the Red Sea. They had witnessed the glory of God at Mount Sinai. They witnessed the glory of God in the tabernacle. All of these wonderful things that they had witnessed. And they got right up to go to the promised land. Right up to taking possession. And all but two of the spies said, "We can't do it." In fact, then they blamed God. They said, "Why did we come out here to die? Why couldn't we have just died in Egypt?" See, the Bible says that they received the word, but they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the faith. So when you and I talk about resting in Christ, one could say, well, God's just going to give it to me. God's just going to give me the rest. But it doesn't work that way. See, because verse 11 says, "Let us therefore be what? Be diligent." Be diligent. In other words, there is some personal responsibility to entering into his rest. See, God had a plan for the children of Israel, and unfortunately, that first Exodus generation lacked the faith. They didn't go in and they didn't take it. It reminds me of the tragedy of casual Christianity. We talked this morning in Bible study about how God is a just God and a fair God all the way through. And when you get to heaven, there are rewards. And so for those that serve the Lord and turn over their life to him and have a Christ-centered life, there will be a reward. For those that don't, there will not be a reward. God's fair and just to the lost. And in fact, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And there's different degrees of hell and there's different degrees of heaven. God is an absolute fair and just God. And as we look at the children of Israel and as they didn't execute the plan that God had for them, it reminds me of the casual Christian who says, well, I can live my life however I want to and it's okay and I'm just going to get to heaven and heaven's going to be pass-fail and it's all going to be good. That's not what the Bible says. And the Bible says that God has a plan for us. Now, we could really struggle with God's plan in our life. There's lots of people that do that. What is God's plan for me? Like they're waiting for some epiphany or writing in the sky or toasts that are going to be come out in a certain shape after they make toast in the oven and all of those things that you see on TV. It's not that difficult. In fact, the answer to God's plan for your life is found back in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, as we read in verse 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, we could stop right there, and we could have that binary decision of heaven and hell. God chose me for heaven. I feel good about that. I'm okay, and I don't have anything else to worry about. And I can go out, and I have the freedom to live however I want to. And it's okay. God's not going to require anything of me. There's no rest in that, because we do not operate in a vacuum, and people that end up making that choice end up falling back, just like the children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. They fall back and try to live a life according to the world system. They say, well, I'm going to go to heaven. That's my final destination. But I'm going to go out and I'm going to pursue acceptance and satisfaction and self-worth through the system of the world. I'm going to be one of those Christians who is just career-minded and going to give God a few crumbs on Sunday. Or I'm going to be one of those people who find satisfaction in a hobby or whatever. And yeah, I may occasionally go to church, but that's all right because after all, I'm going to go to heaven. That's not God's plan for your life. What's God's plan? Look at what it says right after that. It says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Okay, here it is. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. In other words, my friends, you and I were saved to live a holy life, to follow Him. We are saved to be to His glory, to the praise of His glory. Now, I want to talk real briefly about what that means. Some people will say this is semantics, but it's really not. If I look at my working towards holiness as a system of justification before God, I failed at that very first step. Because there's nothing that we can do to be justified before God apart from Christ. So I can't even rest in that. In fact, if you've ever been to a legalistic church that has bought into living a life of checklist and self-worth through doing all of these things, and people judge you because their checklist is different than your checklist, there's no rest in that. You can't relax in that because you're never going to find satisfaction in that. So that type of holiness through legalism is not acceptable. And you'll find no satisfaction. But where you will find rest for your souls in Christ is when you recognize that Christ has done all of these things for us, and you willingly and lovingly surrender your life to Christ because you have bought into His plan and bought into His purpose and bought into your purpose, which is to be holy, to be righteous, and you lovingly want to do those things. And the Holy Spirit works through you and sanctifies you. You have rest. Why is that? Because you know that God is satisfied with you. Isn't that a wonderful thought when you really think about it? Can't we come together on Sundays and exalt Jesus Christ because we have found satisfaction through Him? It makes all of these other crazy things in life that we pursue and lose our focus on seem real trivial, doesn't it? When we really think about the eternal purpose of Jesus Christ and how we should be holy in Christ, and that it makes me want to be here. It makes me want to be here on Sunday. It makes me want to serve Him throughout the week. It makes me want to be a student of His Word. Everything that I do should be for Jesus Christ, and then I can have rest. You can live a transparent life that way. You know, there's a beauty through transparency because I don't have to worry about somebody coming behind me and finding something out about me if I am living a holy life. You can have that when you serve the Lord in your life and you say, everything about me is going to be about Jesus. You can be transparent because there's absolutely nothing that you have to worry about. We can have rest for our souls. Jesus Christ said, come unto me. Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you this morning, are you finding satisfaction through Jesus Christ? Are you searching for life and the meaning of life in some other way, either through work, through hobby, through entertainment? It's not going to satisfy the world, and it's not going to satisfy you as a believer, because the only way that we can find satisfaction is through Jesus Christ. He said He would give us rest for our souls. You may be here this morning and somehow you've lost your zeal or your joy in serving the Lord. You just take it for granted. You're pursuing whatever agenda that you have. If that's you this morning, right now, just ask for forgiveness from God and ask Him to restore the joy of your salvation. That you would refocus your life on Jesus Christ, that in all things that you would look through Christ for the meaning of life, that He would give definition and purpose to your work, to your family, to your finances, to your free time. Are you spending those for the kingdom of Christ? That answer is no. Just right where you're at, just recommit your life to Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You've never given Him your life. You've never asked for forgiveness of sins. You don't know the Lord this morning. Just right where you're at, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Ask for forgiveness of sins. Ask Him into your life. Repent, which means that you got to give up the things of this world, and you have to turn to God. If you're not a Christian this morning, become one today. Our Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word and Your truth. We thank You for the promise of rest. And I pray, Lord, that we would look to Your Word and recognize that we don't need to be like those who were disobedient. We need to be diligent. We need to seek You. We need to draw near to You so that we might find rest. In Jesus' name, amen.